Over the years, on Sunday afternoon, we've often had a missionary emphasis, so I've heard. I haven't been here through the years that much, but I know that when there are missionaries here, they've often spoken to us on Sunday afternoon, a Labor Day weekend. And I think that's such a great thing, because I know the Lord wants us to look beyond ourselves and our own circle and lift up our eyes and be interested in His work in all the world. And by be interested, I don't just mean be curious and want to know some missionary stories, but I mean have an interest, you know, an interest, a real care and concern about His work, and enter into His heart for people He wants to save. God spared not His own Son, that He might save men and women, bring them to Himself. Hallelujah. And you know, it's right for us to do this. Here I have, we heard the other day about the Acts of the Apostles. God's working, His Spirit's working through them. And here in the book of Acts, we have something interesting. In the church at Antioch, which became the center of the missionary activity, they were worshiping one day before the Lord, ministering to Him, fasting and praying. And on that day, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So here's the home church, and the Lord indicates that He wants these two men to leave. Well, that was a separation, and I'm sure the loss was felt. They were ministering together there, and God was working in wonderful ways in that church at Antioch. Through His servants, He was saving, He was adding, He was blessing, and they were ministering to the Lord, worshiping in the Holy Ghost. And to lose these two, they were kind of real strong leaders. But God had another plan for this time and for these men, and He sent them forth. It says they laid their hands on them and sent them off. There they went. And these next two chapters, that was the beginning of the 13th chapter of Acts, speak about their first missionary journey. Paul and Barnabas taking this journey together, and the wonderful things that God did, especially that sermon in the other Antioch that the Apostle Paul preached. Boy, that was a tremendous sermon where he declared to them that wonderful work that God would do, that saving work, justification by faith. And then they were in other places too, and God did wonderful things. But they came back, and it says here, when they had spoken, this is the end of the 14th chapter, when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. So the missionaries came home. That's what's being said. And then what did they do? When they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they remained no little time with the disciples. That would mean that it's good for missionaries to come home and to tell the folks what they've been doing and what God has been doing with them. That's what it says here. They declared all that God had done with them. And I can imagine that it was a time of great rejoicing. He said, wow, we felt it keenly when Paul and Barnabas left us, but now they're back, and all the souls they're telling us about, all the wonderful things, to God be the glory, great things He hath done. And I'm sure they relished that time that they were home, but you know what happened? Paul went forth again, and so did Barnabas. And then there were four of them, because Barnabas took John Mark and Paul took Silas, and they headed off on the second missionary journey, or Paul's second journey. But in the meantime, they went to Jerusalem, and then there was more of missionary reporting. there was a council there, and listen, it's in the next chapter. This was a unique meeting. I don't think we can compare our meeting to this one, but something wonderful happened there. They called on Peter to speak. And he got up and he said to them, "Brethren, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith." Now, he addressed the issue that they had come together to discuss as well. But then, after he spoke, the assembly fell silent, it says, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. After they finished speaking, James, who was the leader of the group there at Jerusalem, said, "Brothers, listen to me. My turn. Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written." And he quotes from the Old Testament that it was in God's plan to save people far and wide, all the corners of the earth. Here, "After this I will return." I know you Bible scholars know that this comes from the prophet Amos. And I'm sure it would be a rather obscure passage to us had not James chosen to quote it, had not the Holy Spirit given it to James on this great day. And we have it here in Acts 15. But here it is. "After this, I will return and I will rebuild the tent or tabernacle of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins and I will restore it, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord. And all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old." He's the one who does this work. Praise the Lord. So you have that right there in those two chapters in Acts. And we see it in the Old Testament and the New, how God is gathering a people that will glorify his name throughout all eternity. A people saved by the Lord. To his Old Testament people, remember at the end of Deuteronomy it says, "There's no God like our God." But then it says, "There's no people like God's people." And now we know that they're not just the people, his Old Testament covenant people, but there's a new covenant. And there are people from every tribe and nation, we read, who will be there, rejoicing in his salvation, praising the Lamb throughout all the ages of eternity. And so I'm thankful for this emphasis. And it's biblical for us to get together here and hear what God is doing in other places. And that's, to me, a very special thing. We've had that, I guess, all my life. That's been something that's been emphasized in our churches, that we want to look beyond and care about what moved and moves the heart of God. And I'm glad that we can. You know, Brother Wade told me that he's just back from Zimbabwe. That's, I guess everybody knows where Zimbabwe is. Once in a while we hear about it on the news. We know that conditions aren't so great there. Because we hear about their ruler as being rather tyrannical, at least from a U.S. point of view. You've been there, you probably know. But you can tell me his name, Robert Mugabe, see? You know these guys. He has a bad reputation in our country anyway. He's been leading that country for a long time. And from the news reports we hear, he's been leading it down, down, down. By the way, earlier this summer, Nat Saginario was here, and it was kind of a surprise to me to see him. A dear man that's, do you know him?
Yes.
You're from Zion, right? You were wearing a shirt that said Zion. Anyway, he's been increasingly involved in missionary work all over the world, so we asked him to say a few words to us, and it was inspiring to hear what he had to say. He's been in so many countries, and he's been organizing teams to go here and there. So I'm glad that you can just speak to us for a few minutes about what you saw in Zimbabwe, and then we're going to come across the Atlantic to Tortola. So would you come, Brother Wade?